Call Chuck Castleberry of Logic Real Estate. The Logic firm and associate broker Chuck Castleberry can open doors for you and your family to all the wonders of Santa Fe. Logic Real Estate offers expert insider realty services as well as mortgage and title assistance right under one knowledgeable, resourceful roof. Call Chuck Castleberry for an insider's perspective and real estate opportunities and investments in Santa Fe. Here's the number in the state of New Mexico, 505-820-7000 or 505-204-2984. You can also email Chuck Castleberry at chuck@santafelogic.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, be ready. For the first time in New York, this new show, The Seer with Prophet Zogo. Every Tuesday at 5:30 p.m., Wednesday 5:30 p.m., and Saturday 6:30 p.m. Your life will never ever be the same. So listen to The Seer. Every Tuesday at 5:30 p.m., Wednesday 5:30 p.m., and Saturday 6:30 p.m. Here on 1460 WVOX and WVOX.com, your life will never ever be the same.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Our weather forecast for today, calling for a mostly cloudy last day of the month on this Halloween Thursday. Look for a slight chance of showers later this afternoon, but mostly tonight. Highs will range in the mid-60s. It'll be cloudy with showers likely tonight, mainly after midnight. Nighttime lows into the upper 50s. Friday, overcast with showers, windy in the morning, and mild, too. Highs will reach the lower 70s. The showers will taper off in the afternoon. Still a slight chance of a little light rain on Friday night. Nighttime lows in the lower 50s, but the weekend looks nice. Partly sunny on Saturday. High temperatures on Saturday will range into the mid-60s. Sunday, partly to mostly sunny in the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD.
Thank you for joining us on 1460 WVOX, America's great community radio station where many different voices are heard in the land. Opinions expressed on our community and open line programs are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or sponsors. As always, we're privileged to amplify the voice of the people here on Vox Populi 1460 and worldwide at WVOX.com for you and yours.
This Halloween, we've taken control of your radio.
Are you one of the frightened?
Don't be scared if we turn up the volume. On AM 1460, WVOX.
Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lebensold, your host for this series on the natural world, education, and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, October 31st, 2013, Halloween, the 40th day of autumn. We have lost 2 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 17 minutes since last we met 1 week ago. The sun rose at 7:25 this morning. It will set at 5:52 this afternoon. We will have 10 hours and 27 minutes of daylight today. Days are getting shorter. The shortest by comparison will be 9 hours and 14 minutes. That's around the third week of December. It's an hour and a half, over an hour shorter than today. Daylight savings time ends this Sunday morning. Don't forget to set your clocks. The moon rose at 4:10 this morning. It will set at 4:09 this afternoon. We are 5 days past last quarter. Next full moon is November 17th. Now our regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. I'm very happy to report that there have been no American servicemen or women killed in combat this last week. The last combat death was, 11 days ago on October 20th, which we reported on last week's program. Time for the Culture Corner, my reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, and what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions and you have the right to disagree with them because everyone has the right to be wrong. Fortunately, you can't be wrong today because I have nothing to report. However, we are going to see a magic show later this week, and we'll report on that next week. It stimulates your brain. It feeds your soul. It's classical music and the acclaimed Westchester Philharmonic. The orchestra's 31st season at the Performing Arts Center is underway. Next up, November 24th at 3 p.m., MacArthur Genius Award-winning pianist Jeremy Denk is the soloist leader. That's November 24th with Jeremy Denk, the Westchester Philharmonic, and the masterpieces of Mozart, Beethoven, and Haydn at the SUNY Purchase Performing Arts Center. Acclaimed by critics as a pianist that you want to hear no matter what he performs, Jeremy Denk and the Westchester Philharmonic are not to be missed. Buy your tickets for the November 24th concert at westchesterphil.org or by calling 914-682-3707. So that's westchesterphil.org or call 914-682-3707. Okay, now I also have a pair of tickets to give away for that very performance. If you would like to go to that, compliments of WVOX and the Westchester Philharmonic, please call our studio line 914-636-0110. We'll see how many we get. If we do get just one, you got it. If we get more than one, our wonderful engineer Debbie will just pick the winning entry out of a hat. So that will be a pair of tickets for this concert. We hope to see you there. I will certainly be there. Okay. My guest today is Rose Eveleth. I hope I have that pronounced that right. I'm pronouncing like 11, but she'll have to tell me. She's a science writer, producer, and, by the way, hand model. Her writing has appeared in Scientific American, Smithsonian Magazine, and New York Times. Speaking to us from Brooklyn, New York, welcome Rose Eveleth.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Good morning. My pleasure. What's the weather like in Brooklyn today, Rose?
Not so bad, not so bad. It's looking cloudy, like it might rain, but I think it might stay clear. There's a Halloween parade later, and I'm hoping it doesn't rain.
A Halloween parade? Are you in the parade?
I'm not in the parade, no, but I will probably watch it.
Okay. I know they have a grand Halloween parade in Manhattan, if I remember from previous years. It gets pretty outrageous, as I recall.
Yep.
Yes. Okay, so one of the projects that you've done recently, I believe, was you went aboard a research vessel, a ship off Iceland. I'm not exactly sure what you did. Why don't you tell us what you did out there and tell us your observations of the scientific method and how it is actually done. And what does a young woman do aboard ship for something like, I think it was 30 days? You'll give us all these details. What do you do for entertainment while the scientists are working?
So I lived aboard the ship, the RV Nor. We sailed from Portugal to Iceland for 30 days. And the scientists on board were actually a big team, and there were a bunch of different projects that were going on. But in general, they were interested in this particular phytoplankton. And this phytoplankton has a really interesting, basically, war going on with a virus that infects it. And there's some really interesting things that are happening in the water where the phytoplankton will go dormant when it thinks the virus is around. And it's sort of this interesting arms race. And the researchers really wanted to get out there and see what was going on sort of in real time and while it was actually happening. So in order to find the phytoplankton, you know, the ocean's pretty big, and we had to figure out how to find these blooms of phytoplankton. So they use satellite images and all this sort of interesting technology to tell them where to go. So we sort of chased these tiny plankton around the ocean for 30 days, which was really fascinating to watch because you never really know what you're going to find. Even if your satellite data tells you that, you know, the plankton are there, sometimes by the time you get there, they're not there. Or sometimes when you get there, it's not as many as you had hoped and all of that.
Okay, so when you do find the plankton, tell us what mm-hmm. the scientists actually do. There are some people who think science is just some kind of some foolishness. And I try to bring guests and just speak myself on that science is what we have as far as knowledge goes. We either observe it directly or we experiment to find it. And when there's real science, like, for instance, climate science, which clearly says that that we have global warming and that it's caused by fossil fuels. How are those things determined? What is the scientific method, and why should we rely on it?
The scientific method is the best way. Yeah, it's a big question. It's the best way we have to answer questions about the world around us. So, for example, on the ship, they wanted to know what genetically is happening to these plankton while this arms race is going on. So in order to answer a question like that, you have to go, you have to collect samples, and then you have to sequence the genomes and see which genes are activated during the process. So the scientific method really is just a really rigorous way of answering a question that we have, and it doesn't go in assuming any answers. It doesn't know what's going to happen. It just says, I have a question, and here's the best way to get that answer by controlling all of the variables that I can control.
Okay, so
and that's what they were doing.
Do scientists have an agenda or just hypotheses, and what is the difference?
Good scientists only have hypotheses, you mean, what they really want to know is how the world works and why things happen. And you go in and you ask that question, and that's how science moves ahead. And often, the coolest experiments are counterintuitive. They think that perhaps this is one thing is going on, and it winds up being something else. And scientists roll with that because they're not interested in telling people how it is supposed to be. They're interested in figuring out what's actually there in the world and why.
So what would you say to climate deniers? Is it truly science that that global warming exists, or is this just should we listen to the politicians on the right who say that that it's bogus, or should we listen to the true scientists, and why?
Well, I think that when it comes to matters of science, I tend to trust scientists. And climate science is very complicated. It's really confusing. There's lots of variables. It's very hard to control your variables because you've got this huge system that's interacting with itself. So I'm not a climate scientist. I don't know as much as they do about it, but I trust my doctor to tell me what medicine to take, and I trust climate scientists to tell me what's going on in the climate. That's their job. That's what they do.
Okay, Rose, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. You are listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Hagerman, CFC, Garden Valley, CFC, St. Anthony, CFC, Sun Valley, CFC, Idaho, I have no idea what CFC means. But you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You're listening live. I am Bob Levinsold, your host. My guest is Rose Eveleth, and we will be right back.
And national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. The NSA insisting it did not secretly break into Google and Yahoo servers.
The denial comes from National Security Agency Director Keith Alexander yesterday in New York.
I can tell you factually, we do not have access to Google servers, Yahoo servers.
But the Washington Post reports the NSA and its British counterpart penetrated the main communications links that connect Google and Yahoo data centers around the world.
Fox Radio's Rich Johnson.
Google says it's long been concerned about this kind of snooping and has not given the government access to its systems.
And for flyers, this message may soon be getting a tweaking.
And ensure your mobile phones and electronic devices are turned off.
The FAA greenlighting allowing passengers to use most electronic devices from gate to gate, though connections to the web still banned below 10,000 feet and cell phone calls will still be prohibited. Fox News, we report, you decide.
There's more to Fox News Radio than meets the ear. Go behind the headlines and join the conversation on the hottest stories of the day on the Fox News Radio Facebook page. Be a part of the Fox News Radio Facebook fan community. Post comments and tell us your opinions. See behind-the-scenes photos and videos and post your reactions to the stories that matter to you. Click the like button on Facebook and connect with breaking news and features like Fox in the Fast Lane, House Call for Help, and more. Go to Facebook.com/Fox News Radio.
weeknights. We're busting out a brand new lineup. First, market fraud, government abuse, corruption. At 5, nothing's off limits on money with Melissa Francis. Then, from bloated bank fees to consumer scams. At 6, Jerry's exposing the issues impacting your wallet. Plus, get smart market insight and trusted analysis you won't find anywhere else. At 7, Lou Dobbs is all business. And the first and last name in business, Cavuto. Shedding light on the biggest stories making headlines at 8. Only on the Fox Business Network, giving you the power to prosper.
Hi, this is Steve Pelletieri. With the leaves coming down and winter on its way, I recently did an inspection of my roof and gutters, and I didn't like what I saw. Black ugly stains on my white asphalt roof, and moss too. The moss eats away at the material and shortens the natural lifespan. That's when I called Roof Renew Pros. At 973-786-3623, Roof Renew Pros is a green organic cleaning company, fully licensed and insured, an A-plus rating with Angie's List and the Better Business Bureau. Call Roof Renew Pros today for your roof shingle cleaning at 973-786-3623. Roof Renew Pros is a trusted leader in roof reviver systems and are the original roof cleaning company servicing the tri-state area. Call for your free estimate today at 973-786-3623 at roofrenewpros.com. Located in Sparta, New Jersey, and services the entire tri-state area. roofrenewpros.com. That's 973-786-3623.
Tuesday night, November 5th, and Wednesday morning, November 6th, are two very important dates for WVOX and their many loyal listeners. Because on Tuesday night, beginning at 9 and going until midnight, or even later if necessary, WVOX will be reporting on the all-important election. Hosted by WVOX talk show host and Fox News political analyst John Murtaugh and a panel of experts, along with WVOX reporters at different election headquarters, you'll know everything that is happening as it's happening. The following morning, beginning at 8:30 and running until 10 o'clock, our T.J. McCormick, along with fellow journalist Phil Reisman, star feature columnist of the Journal News, and Howard Sturman, publisher of Hometown Media, will discuss the results. Both of these major broadcasts on WVOX are being made possible through the generosity of J.A. Valenti Development in New Rochelle.
This is the scariest station in the nation.
Man, this place is spooky.
Try not to stare directly at your radio.
That's when the monsters come out.
It's just us at AM 1460 WVOX.
WVOX.
Okay, we
now
are back.
Back to celebrating our
we are back. This is Bob Lebensold. My guest is Rose Eveleth. Welcome back, Rose.
Hi.
Look, before we go any further, I spoke to you yesterday, and you said you have no telephone, no landline, and no television. What's up with that?
I rely on the internet for most things, I guess. I mean, I have a cell phone, and I have my laptop, and I... just rely on those.
What about entertainment? Big Bang Theory, Two and a Half Men, things like that. Baseball games. Nothing?
I watch them on the internet.
You do? Oh, okay. All right. So you're not totally without culture.
No, not here in Brooklyn. We have culture in Brooklyn, I think.
I know you do. So, what first caught my attention about you was an article you wrote in the Scientific American about extinction of the right whales and also... how ocean wildlife are affected by Navy sonar testing. What do you have to say about those?
Yes, I mean, there's a lot of noise that's happening. I mean, humans are pretty noisy, and especially in the ocean where that sort of reverberates in a different way, and a lot of organisms can't hear each other anymore. So, right, the North Atlantic right whale, the frequencies that they communicate at are also very similar to the frequencies that, like, ship engines make. And so they're having a hard time hearing one another. And that's sort of one way that noise pollution is a problem. And the other way that you mentioned is also sort of Navy testing. And the Navy has sort of admitted that in testing they're going to wind up killing a few thousand dolphins and whales. And that's just sort of part of the sacrifice that they're going to make in terms of testing the military equipment. So yeah, we're making lots of noise, and we're hurting animals in the process.
And so, are whales, the right whales, or any other whales actually verging on extinction, or are whales in pretty good shape?
I mean, the North Atlantic right whale is very much verging on extinction. There are about 500 of them left in the world, things do not look good for them. It's unclear whether they will be able to bounce back. Whales, because they're so long-lived, the conservation time scales are very long. It's hard to conserve them and hard to know sort of what the trajectory is going to look like. And a few years ago, they had a bad year. There was an illness that wound up killing a lot of the calves. So it's hard to know what's going to happen. But there are only about 500 of them left in the world, which is not a very good number for whales.
Okay, so those whales. And do you know anything about the whales that are being poached by the Japanese fishing boats in the South Australian Sea, or is that a topic for someone else?
I think that's a topic for someone else.
All right. So while we're talking about beautiful animals, you also did a piece on ugly animals. I'll remind you of it, where certain animals who are considered to be less attractive are not given the protections that the koalas and the pandas and those whom we find fuzzy and nice. What do you say about ugly animals?
I think that it's unfortunate that people are less inclined to give to things like bats or bugs, especially. I have a hard time. It's hard to get people excited about bugs. It's even harder to get people excited about plankton or things they can't see. But all animals have their finer qualities, and just because that you don't want to cuddle with it in bed doesn't mean that you shouldn't conserve them.
Would you really want to cuddle a panda? I mean, those guys are big and they got sharp nails. Maybe dogs.
I think they might bite you. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe dogs and cats you can get away with cuddling them. But okay. Now I know that plankton are of course essential in the chain of life, in the food chain, and just for whatever it is they do. In fact, let me just recall, I spoke to scientist, the late Lynn Margulis, and we spoke about bacteria, and she said, if we did not have bacteria in us, we would just die. So they're essential whether we see them or like them or not. And when you talk about killing bacteria, it's only the harmful ones. Surely the beneficial ones are essential. So and as far as that whole chain of life, well, let's just start with plankton. Where do they fit in?
Plankton are the very basics. I mean, plankton are a lot like the grass on land, and everything relies on plankton, basically. I mean, you have small plankton, and larger plankton eat those plankton, and then zooplankton will eat the plant plankton, and then they'll get eaten by fish. And it really is. I mean, imagine a world if we didn't have grass. That would be like the ocean without plankton. You wouldn't have any of the food chains that you have.
Now, are plankton crustaceans? Are they plants? What are they?
Well, so there are two different kinds of plankton. Plankton really just means tiny floating thing, and it's a Greek word. But plankton can be plants, so those are the kind of like the grass. And then there's something called zooplankton, which are animals. And plankton is sort of a broad term. So some of the zooplankton are krill, and some of them are arthropods. It just sort of depends. It's sort of a catch-all term for very small things that float in the water.
So krill you would consider plankton, or are considered plankton?
Yes, krill are considered zooplankton.
And they are actually crustaceans, are they not?
Krill, they are not crustaceans.
What are they then? Do you know what they are?
You're right. They are crustaceans. Yes, you're right. I'm sorry. They are crustaceans.
Okay.
And they're often, they're one of the most important, plankton in the ocean.
Okay. So let's talk about ugly animals again. Would you single out a species that you would consider ugly, or are they all beautiful in nature's scheme? Or what's your take on that?
If I had to pick a species that I could do without, it would probably be the mosquito. I think mosquitoes are probably the ones that I would go for first if I had to pick.
Good choice. And what about cockroaches and rats and the common city vermin that we live with day to day?
You know, I don't want them in my house. But they have just as much a right to walk around as I do.
So you do eliminate them in your house, if necessary.
I try to keep them out. I try not to get to the elimination stage. I try to just keep the barriers very set.
Okay, so now, I forget which animal you put in your piece, your article. I don't know if you recall. It's been a while ago. But there was a picture of some some animal which looked strange by our usual definition of beauty. Do you recall?
I think it was a bat. And I think that bats are also interesting because people fear them for a variety of reasons, most of which are not based on reality. They're not going to get caught in your hair. They're probably not going to suck your blood, all that stuff.
So, well, this is a good time to talk about bats being Halloween. There are vampire bats. We know this.
There are vampire bats. That is true.
And should we not fear them?
No, vampire bats are not going to bite you.
Well, they do suck blood.
They do suck blood, but they don't suck blood from humans.
Oh, how interesting. So, and of course, now since we're in Halloween, we're going to get a little silly. When we see people dressed up in the street, we're not really looking at, there's no way a vampire is actually going to infiltrate the kids.
I don't think I've ever heard of a vampire infiltrating the kids. I think that so far there's no patient zero for vampires yet.
Okay, so I'm talking to a science writer and I'm asking her about real vampires. Okay, well, that's just the way it is. Your background, you know, as I introduced you, you are a producer as well as a writer. What kind of production do you do in the minute or so that we have left?
Oh, everything from podcasts to animations to interactive graphics on the web. So basically what I do is I try to take science and make it interesting and fun for people to interact with in a variety of ways.
And I notice also that you are proficient in Pro Tools and certain production software. So you mm-hmm. must have a studio. You must know what you're doing with that stuff.
I don't have my own studio, but I do use people's studios.
Okay. What else do you, what are you working on now, for instance?
Right now I'm working on a story about a mummy and why it is, this is a good Halloween topic, why it is that we are so, why we give objects meaning. Why do we think that things are haunted? Why do things take on this sort of weird, spooky quality? I mean, it's just a piece of wood, or it's just, you know, this object that it certainly isn't haunted, but we still fear this. But, I'm curious about why.
Well, a mummy implies that, I mean, not just implies, but it was alive once. And the fact that it's been preserved is kind of spooky, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Okay, Rose, we're going to have to talk again because we're out of time. I'm very happy you were on. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. I'd like to thank Rose Eveleth for joining us this morning. Some writers just write. Others, like today's guest, go out in the field to actually do. Kudos to Rose for being that kind of person. Our thought for the week, in every revolution, there is one person with a vision. Stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community radio station, the flagship of Whitney Radio, the best small station in the world. I do not know if Howard is here. Again, you can call our studio if you're interested in those two tickets. I am Bob Lovensoul, chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. Thank you very much for listening. Remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.
Happy Halloween.